Joshua chapter 14. Joshua 14. Sometimes in life, we come across different seasons that, and I don't mean temperature seasons, I mean seasons of life, where we start to wonder whether our best days are behind us. At the very ending of the TV series, The Office, one of the characters, Andy, he wonders, or he laments, you know, it'd be great if you knew you were living in the good old days during the good old days. It would be nice to know that, right? It would be good to understand this is the best time of my life as I'm living it, instead of, you know, 30, 40, 50 years down the road going, man, that time of life was awesome. I wish I could go back to that. But maybe we look back at what God has done. We remember the battles that have been fought. We reflect on the victories that we've witnessed. But as the years pass, it's easy to assume that our time for taking new ground has ended. Right? We might think challenges belong to somebody younger, sacrifices belong to somebody stronger, and the future belongs to the next generation. Then we meet Caleb. When Caleb appears in Joshua 14, he is 85 years old. How many of us are close? Or there? Right? I'm about where Joshua and Caleb were when Israel said, we're scared to death. All right? So, but Caleb is 85 years old when we get to Joshua 14. 45 years have passed since he first entered Canaan as one of the 12 spies. He had seen the land's beauty, he had tasted its fruit, and he witnessed its dangers. 10 spies returned, overwhelmed by these giants, the fortified cities, and the apparent impossibility of the task. Caleb and Joshua saw those exact same obstacles, but they interpreted them through the promises of God. The majority said, we can't. Caleb and Joshua said, but I know a guy. The Lord is with us. Because Israel refused to believe God, Caleb spent the next 40 years wandering in the wilderness. If that doesn't sound like kindergarten, I don't know what else would. He watched an entire generation die, not because God had been unfaithful, but because they had refused to trust him. Yet Caleb didn't allow the unbelief of others to destroy his confidence in God. He kept following, right? He kept trusting. He kept waiting. Now the land is being divided among the tribes of Israel. Caleb could have asked for a quiet valley, an easy inheritance, or a comfortable retirement. Instead, he pointed toward the hill country where the giants still lived and the fortified cities still stood. Then he made one of Scripture's boldest declarations. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. Caleb wasn't asking for comfort. He was asking for a challenge worthy of his confidence in God. As we read through Joshua 14, we can be reminded that faith is not merely believing God at the beginning of the journey. Faith is continuing to believe him through the wilderness, through the waiting, and into the battles that remain. Caleb's confidence wasn't in his age or ability or experience. His confidence was rooted in the God who had made the promise. So let's read Joshua 14 together. Starting in verse 1. These are the inheritance that the people of Israel received in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the people of Israel gave them to inherit. Their inheritance was by lot, just as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses for the 9 1/2 tribes. For Moses had given inheritance to the 2 1/2 tribes beyond the Jordan. But to the Levites he gave no inheritance among them, for the people of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. And no portion was given to the Levites in the land, but only cities to dwell in, with their pasture lands for their livestock and their substance. The people of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. They allotted the land. Obedience. All right, verse 6. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God." And Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, that I shall drive them out just as the Lord said." Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb the son of Jephunneh for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. We thank you that we get to see examples of faith like Caleb, examples of perseverance, and waiting and remaining faithful. Teach us today these things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. For my note takers, on the back of your bulletin, there's some blank spots that you can fill in some notes of your own. I went ahead and typed down all the points. So all you got to do is take notes as you listen along. But the first point is that faith remembers what God has spoken. We see through the opening verses of this chapter that God not only keeps the large-scale promises of the land, but he also remembers his promise to particular families, again, reminding each clan that they are living in the particular land that God had given them. As Caleb stands before Joshua, he begins with these words, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me." Caleb reaches back 45 years and remembers a promise that God had made. A lot had happened during those 45 years. Israel had wandered through the wilderness. An entire generation had died. Moses had died. Joshua had become Israel's leader. Battles had been fought. Kings had been defeated. And much of Canaan had been conquered. The world around Caleb had changed dramatically. But the word of God had not changed. As I keep working through this, a lot of times I'm just going to use the name of Caleb. A lot of it applies to Joshua as well. I'm just going to save some words. This is where enduring faith begins, because Caleb remembered what the Lord had said. Faith doesn't rest on our feelings. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It doesn't rest upon our circumstances. It doesn't rest on our ability to understand everything that's happening around us. Faith rests upon the unchanging Word of God. Our feelings can change from one day to the next. Our circumstances can change without warning. The people we trust can disappoint us. But what God has spoken remains true.
Amen.
Caleb takes Joshua back to Kadesh Barnea, where Moses sent 12 spies into Canaan. All 12 men saw the exact same land. They saw its abundance. They saw its fortified cities. They saw its powerful inhabitants. 10 spies concluded that taking the land was impossible. Joshua and Caleb reached a completely different conclusion. Not because they saw something different, but because they remembered what God said. The 10 spies measured themselves against the giants. Caleb measured the giants against God. That is the difference between fear and faith. Fear looks at an obstacle and goes, man, what can I do? Faith looks at God and asks, what has he promised? Caleb didn't deny the reality of the giants. Right? He simply refused to believe that the giants were greater than the God who had promised Israel the land. Caleb says in verse 7, I brought back a report according to my convictions, or my heart. I brought him word again as it was in my heart. His heart was settled on the faithfulness of God. The majority saw danger and spread fear. Does that sound a little familiar? If not, think back about 6 years ago to the year we don't want to talk about. Caleb saw the same danger, but he spoke faith because his heart was anchored in God's promise. Because of Caleb's faithfulness, Moses swore to him, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Caleb carried that promise for 45 years. There must have been days when his fulfillment seemed very unlikely. Every morning in the wilderness probably looked much like the morning before it. Caleb probably felt like he was living in the movie Groundhog Day. Wake up to the same desert, the same manna, the same wandering, the same people griping and complaining, wanting to go back to Egypt. But delay didn't mean denial. God had not forgotten Caleb. Every day that passed brought him one day closer to the fulfillment of that promise. Some of us know what it's like to wait. Right? We've prayed for someone to be saved, for a relationship to be restored, for a door of ministry to open, for God to provide direction. When the answer doesn't come quickly, we might assume that God has forgotten about us. But God's delays are not evidence of God's absence. I've said it before, I'll say it again. God has kept every single promise he's ever made. It's pretty arrogant of us to think he's going to start by not fulfilling a promise to us. We need to be careful not to treat every personal desire as a promise from God. God never promised to give us everything we want. Right?
Thank God.
Praise the Lord for that. He has promised to never leave us. He's promised to provide the grace we need. He's promised to forgive those who confess their sins. He's promised to remember those who trust in Christ. He has promised to work all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He has promised eternal life to everyone who places their faith in his Son. When circumstances tell you to give up, remember what God had spoken. When fear says the giants are too strong, remember what God has spoken. When the waiting seems endless, remember what God has spoken. Faith survives the wilderness by holding tightly to the Word of God. Caleb could face the mountain in his future because he never forgot the promise from the past. Caleb remembered what God had spoken, but remembering a promise is not the same as faithfully waiting for fulfillment. 45 years separated God's promise from Caleb's procession, or a bit of words, man. 45 years separated God's promise from Caleb's possession of the land. During those years, Caleb faced disappointment, delay, and the consequences of other people's unbelief. Yet he didn't allow the wilderness to turn his faith into bitterness. Now, he continued walking with God. Caleb teaches us that genuine faith does more than remember God's promises. It remains wholehearted through the waiting. This is our second point. Faith remains wholeheartedly throughout the wait. Caleb continues his testimony in verse 8. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. Or I followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. This phrase, follow the Lord wholeheartedly, is repeated three times in this chapter. It's the defining description of Caleb's life. Caleb wasn't perfect, but he was fully devoted. His heart was not divided between trusting God and surrendering to fear. He chose to follow the Lord regardless of what everybody else decided to do. That commitment was first demonstrated at Kadesh Barnea. Right, 10 of the 12 spies returned with a fearful report. They talked about giants, fortified cities, and all the reasons Israel couldn't succeed. Their fear became contagious. According to Caleb, they made the hearts of the people melt in fear. Fear has a way of spreading. When people continually focus on everything that might go wrong, discouragement begins to infect everyone around them. This is what happened in Israel. The spies did more than express personal concern. They discouraged an entire nation from obeying God because they were afraid. Caleb refused to join them. Following God wholeheartedly will sometimes require standing apart from the crowd. The majority is not always right. That's an important thing to remember. The majority is not always right. Caleb didn't take a vote to decide whether or not God could be trusted. He had already settled that question in his heart. Even when the crowd moved toward fear, he remained committed to faith. And Caleb's faithfulness was tested by more than just one difficult moment. Because Israel refused to enter the land, Caleb had to wander in the wilderness with everybody else. Think about how frustrating that must have been. Caleb was ready to obey, but he suffered the consequences of other people's disobedience. He could have spent 40 years griping and complaining. This isn't my fault. I voted for the other guy. I trusted God. I was ready to go. I knew that he was going to give it to us. But y'all are just a bunch of scaredy cats and had to run the other way. No, instead, Caleb continued following the Lord wholeheartedly. It's one thing to trust God when the door opens immediately. It's another thing to remain faithful when someone else's decision delays your plans. Caleb didn't allow disappointment to become bitterness. He didn't let the wilderness change what he believed about God. Some believers begin the Christian life with great enthusiasm, but become discouraged when life doesn't go the way they thought. Prayers seem like they're unanswered. Opportunities disappear. People disappoint us. The road becomes longer than we imagined. During those seasons, we're tempted to pull away from God or settle into spiritual complacency. I made this statement just a moment ago. Prayers seem unanswered. I want to emphasize that word seem. I hate the Garth Brooks song, Unanswered Prayers. I despise it. Because no prayer goes unanswered. Ever. There is no such thing as an unanswered prayer. Usually there's three answers. Yes, no, or wait.
The song's really about waiting.
What?
That song's really about waiting.
Yeah, the song is really about waiting, but he thought it's unanswered. No prayer is unanswered. Sometimes we just got to wait, like Caleb, 45 years for the fulfillment of a promise. And Caleb reminds us that waiting isn't wasted when we remain faithful to God. God was sustaining Caleb, shaping his character, and preparing him for the inheritance that was coming. In verses 10 and 11, Caleb says, "Now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. Notice what Caleb doesn't say. Think about where he's placing the credit here. Caleb doesn't say, I've kept myself strong. He says, the Lord has kept me alive. Then he declares, I'm still as strong today as I was back then. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was back then. At 85 years old, Caleb wasn't looking for a retirement plan. He was ready to serve. He was ready to fight. He was ready to obey. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody is going to possess Caleb's physical ability or physical strength at 85 years old. At 46, I don't think I possess that kind of strength. But the point is that Caleb remained spiritually ready for whatever God asked him to do. His age had changed. His commitment had not. There's no retirement from following Jesus. Amen. Our roles may change. Our physical abilities may decrease. We may serve differently in one season than we did in another. But as long as God gives us breath, we can pray, we can encourage, we can teach, we can give, we can witness, we can faithfully serve His church. And then He calls us home, and all we get is a change of address, and we're still following Jesus. Caleb didn't spend 45 years just growing older. He spent 45 years walking with God. When the opportunity finally arrived, he was ready because he had remained faithful during the waiting. The question isn't simply whether we start well. The question is whether we're still following the Lord wholeheartedly today. Caleb had remembered God's promise, and he remained wholehearted during the years of waiting. Now the time had come for him to act upon what he believed. Faith doesn't merely look backward at what God said or patiently endure the present. Faith steps forward in obedience when God opens the door. Another one of those statements I've said before that I'll say again. What good is faith if you don't do anything with it? Caleb had spent 45 years waiting for this moment, and when it arrived, he didn't ask for the safest place in Canaan. He pointed toward the most difficult territory and said, "Give me this mountain." Which is our third point. Faith requests the mountain, not the easy road. Caleb says in verse 12, "Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day." The King James renders the request with familiar words, "Give me this mountain." There is courage in that declaration, but we must understand what Caleb was requesting. He wasn't asking for a peaceful mountain retreat where he can enjoy his final days or maybe go do a little off-roading. He was asking for the hill country around Hebron, a territory that was still occupied by the Anakim. These are the very people who had frightened Israel 45 years earlier. In Numbers 13, the spies described the descendants of Anak as giants. When the 10 spies saw them, they felt like grasshoppers by comparison. Now, let's be clear. Okay, I'm like 6'8"-ish. Yep. They make me look like a hobbit. All right? So these guys are huge. Caleb looked toward the same territory, and he wanted that as his inheritance. Give me this hill country. The giants hadn't disappeared. The challenge hadn't become easier. What had changed was that Israel had finally begun walking in obedience to God. Caleb wasn't pretending the obstacles didn't exist. He tells Joshua, "You yourself heard then that the Anakim were there and their cities were large and fortified." Biblical faith is not positive thinking that refuses to acknowledge reality. Let that sink in. Biblical faith is not positive thinking. That can be a sentence in and of itself. But biblical faith is not positive thinking that refuses to acknowledge reality. Caleb knew exactly what was waiting for him in those mountains. He understood the strength of the enemy and the difficulty of the assignment. Faith doesn't say there are no giants, right? Faith says they ain't bigger than God.
Amen.
Caleb continues, "But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." That statement reveals the true source of his confidence. Caleb didn't say, "I have enough experience," or "I'm still strong enough to handle this." Although he had strength and experience, he knew victory depended upon the presence and the power of God. His words, "the Lord helping me," are not an expression of unbelief. They are an expression of humility. Caleb believed God's promise, but he also understood that he couldn't accomplish God's assignment without God's help. He possessed courageous faith without slipping into arrogant self-confidence. I think this is an important distinction for us, at least for me. "Give me this mountain" doesn't mean asking God to bless every personal ambition that we develop.
Amen.
The mountain Caleb requested was the land that God had specifically promised him. Right? Caleb wasn't pursuing his own dream. He was obeying God's revealed will. Faith isn't demanding that God accompany us wherever we go. Faith is discovering where God has called us to go and depending on Him as we obey. I think that's some helpful context in thinking about how we interpret scriptures. Like Paul's writing to the Philippians. That's on all your sportswear. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Doing all things doesn't mean that we're going to get to do anything that we want to do and Jesus is going to give us the strength to do it. No. It means that in Christ's strength, we can do whatever God calls us to do. I can't play in the NBA and proclaim I can do all things. If God called me there, He would have to give me the strength and the ability because I don't got it. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Your mountain may be a difficult ministry assignment. It might be a person who needs to hear the gospel. It might be a broken relationship that needs forgiveness or a sinful habit that's got to be confronted. It might be serving when nobody notices. It might be remaining faithful in an exhausting season. We're stepping into an opportunity that feels greater than your abilities. We like valleys, right? What's most generally, what is your favorite psalm? 23, right? What's the word there? Valley. I walk through the valley. Because valleys are easy to walk through. There's not much there. We want smooth roads, clear answers, quick victories. Smooth roads. I don't know about that one. I like the rough roads. But for the most part, we want smooth roads, clear answers, quick victories. God often develops our faith on mountains where we must depend upon Him for every step. As we were out in the hills over 4th of July, we got to climb this spot called Moses Hill. It's pretty steep. We let our guide go up first. It wasn't me. Let our guide go up first. He had climbed that hill before in his Jeep. And then he let us know it was time for us to go. And he was our spotter, so we knew which line to take to be able to climb up Moses Hill and to successfully encroach it. I couldn't have done it on my own. I had to have a spotter to help me get up there. Because we got to depend on God every step of the way. Right? I had to depend on my spotter to get me to the right spot. We have to depend on God to get us every step of the way. If the assignment could be completed entirely in our own strength, who's going to take the credit? I know I would. When the challenge is greater than we are, God gets the glory. And I don't know about y'all, but every challenge I face is bigger than me.
Yep.
Joshua blessed Caleb and gave Hebron as his inheritance. Verse 14 tells us that Hebron belonged to Caleb because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Then verse 15 concludes, then the land had rest from war. Oh. Interesting. Caleb was ready to go to war. He thought he was going to go out to fight a battle for this mountain. But what happens in verse 15? The land had rest from war. Caleb's obedience affected more than just Caleb. Israel's disobedience affected Caleb, but Caleb's obedience affected everybody else. His willingness to confront the enemy helped bring rest to the land. Our faithfulness also affects those around us, right? When parents follow Christ, children see what trust looks like. When church members serve faithfully, the entire body is strengthened. When believers confront sin and share the gospel, other people experience the blessing of that obedience. At 85, Caleb was still taking territory. He didn't allow his age, the giants, or the fortified cities just to become excuses. He looked at the mountain through the lens of God's promise, and he stepped forward in faith. The question isn't whether the mountain is difficult. The question is whether God has called us to climb it. If he has, then we can say with Caleb, the Lord helping me, I will drive them out. Right? Caleb's story ends with a mountain gained, enemies driven out, and an inheritance received. It's an inspiring story of faith. But if we leave here thinking, I need to be more courageous like Caleb, then we're missing the point. The Bible isn't just a story about strong people climbing mountains for God. It's a story of a gracious God coming down to rescue weak and sinful people like you and me. Our greatest problem isn't a mountain in front of us. It's the rebellion within us. We haven't followed the Lord wholeheartedly as Caleb did. Our hearts have been divided. We've trusted God when it's convenient, but we've ignored him when obedience is costly. We've allowed fear to silence us, pride to direct us, and sin to separate us from the God who created us. If an inheritance with God depended upon our own perfect faithfulness, none of us would receive it. In fact, if life were fair, we would all be hanging on a cross. But Jesus came as the perfectly faithful Son. Where Israel failed in the wilderness, Jesus remained obedient. Where we have followed God half-heartedly, Jesus followed the Father completely. He fulfilled every righteous requirement that we've broken. Then Jesus climbed a mountain of his own to conquer a fortified city, or not to conquer a fortified city, but to carry a cross. At Calvary, the sinless Son of God took the judgment our rebellion deserves. The one who deserved the inheritance was treated as an outcast, so that the spiritual outcast could be welcomed into God's family. Jesus died, was buried, and on the third day rose from the grave. His resurrection declared that sin's penalty had been paid and death's power had been broken. Jesus didn't merely show us how to fight for an inheritance. He secured an inheritance we can never win for ourselves. The gospel invitation then is not try harder and become more like Caleb. No, stop trusting yourself. Come to Christ. Trust him. Faith means resting the full weight of our lives on Jesus, believing that his death is sufficient to forgive us and his resurrection is sufficient to give us new life. Jesus is very clear how this works in Mark chapter 1. He says, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the gospel. There's changes that have to happen here. And these changes are not changes that we can make on our own. Only we can't clean up our life before we come to Christ. Right? Never happened. I've never gone fishing and cleaned the fish before they took the bait. It's never happened. Right? Same thing with sharing the gospel with other people. We can't expect other people to clean up their lives before we share the gospel with them. If we're going to be fishers of men, we're going to be catching some dirty people. Does that make sense? And there's going to be some dirty people sitting in the pews. Does that make sense? There are dirty people sitting in the pews. I can't believe the pastor just said that. Yeah, right. There are dirty people sitting in the pews. If you think you're not, well, hi, Jesus, nice to meet you. Right. Jesus' death is sufficient for us. That paid the penalty for our sin, for our rebellion. His resurrection is sufficient to give us new life. When you come to Jesus, you don't get a temporary piece of land like Caleb. Right? You are adopted into God's family and you are given an eternal inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade away. You receive the forgiveness for your past, the presence of the Holy Spirit today in the certain hope of the resurrection with Jesus. Caleb could say, "Give me this mountain," because he trusted the God who made the promise. We can face whatever mountain lies ahead because Jesus has already climbed Calvary. He walked down to the grave and he secured our ultimate victory. So don't place your confidence in the strength of your own hands. Place it in the scars on his. Then trusting his promise and depending upon his presence, step forward and say, "Lord, if this is the mountain that you have given me, help me take it for your glory."
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for this example of wholehearted faith that we see in Caleb. But Lord, as we think about that, don't let us just stop with, "Oh, cool, Caleb had wholehearted faith. I need to be stronger like that." No, Lord, let us move forward to trusting you, to trusting you wholeheartedly, to stop focusing on our own abilities to do things, whatever that thing might be, but to trust in you, that you can move us forward. Lord, if there's anyone who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, let today be the day that they would heed your call to come to salvation and step forward in faith and obedience. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.